And now, here's your host of Shaping Success, Wes Tankersley.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to Shaping Success, the Wednesday edition with my friend Robert Watson. Going through the book. Get it in the frame. Ars Victorious is out now. We're talking. We went backwards a little bit here because I had a digital copy, and then now I've got the real copy. So the digital copy has a little bit out of order, but we're going to go back a chapter. If you're following along with us, it is called... dang it, I wrote it down and I keep forgetting it's flexible, right?
No, frame of mind.
Frame of mind. I've said it like right before we were talking about it and we've been going through it. I like this one because it's, you know, it's not very often that you get to tap back into like some college stuff and Dweck and mindset and things like that. So, It's interesting. I've heard that name, Carol Dweck, multiple times. And when I see it, I'm just like, oh, yeah. I know about that. That's something that I actually retain from checking a box and taking a test. So tell us a little bit about this one.
Well, this one's kind of simple. It starts off with the idea that the frame matters more than the picture. How we perceive things, for example, we do not see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. We see through the experience of our lens. That means that even though you and I are sharing the same podcast in theoretically the same reality, we don't see it the same way. And that means if you've got the capability of seeing it, you know, in various fashions, that means we have the ability to change our frame of reference anytime we want. For example, you know, somebody can see a negative as a positive, right? Or you can see every obstacle in your way, every challenge in your way is some kind of negative, something that's been put upon you. Or you can say, oh, cool, I need to go right. I need to go left. Oh, I need to turn around. You don't have to see things in the straight up positive or negative, or you can see things in shades of gray. It's really, really an interesting way to revisit your entire perspective of life.
Yeah,
and that's brilliant.
I think that's great. Like, I mean, and we think about that. It really is that simple, even though it seems so hard, right? Like, we have to really reframe the way that we look at it. And you've been talking a lot about, like, on your TikToks, I've noticed lately that, like, and we've been talking about how failure is a positive thing. Like, you fail forward. Like, the ability to take whatever that is and flip it around and realize that it is something that is propelling you towards the end goal of being successful in whatever you're doing, right?
Yeah, and the other side of it is that every one of us gets caught in these little negative spirals, right? Like, something negative happens, and then you go, well, you know, that happened, and that happened, and all of a sudden you start going, well, if that happens, then that happens, and you're down, you're 10 streets down the road, and you're like, why? There really wasn't anything other than this small trigger, yet I managed to turn it into a huge negative. Wasn't necessary. I could have looked at that situation and turned it into a huge positive.
Yeah,
all by the shape of my mind.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Like, I feel like this happens to me a lot of times. Like, I'll get in these funks and, like, people will know because it is who I am. Like, I wear it on my sleeve. That's who I am. And it's funny how, like, I'll be steam rolling ahead and then all of a sudden, boom, I'll hit this bump. And then I'm just like, what do I got to do? And like, it takes me sometimes, it can take a while to figure that out. But the truth of it is when it's all said and done, I'm still going. Like, it's not like I'm going to quit. It's just, I'm trying to refocus my energy and try and figure out where exactly we can take that.
Yeah. And one of the things last night, I was laying in bed and someone didn't do something that I would appreciate it if they would have done it. They didn't have to, but it would have been nice. And so then I spent like 15 minutes in bed going, turning that into some kind of spiraling negative. And I went, why in the world did I do that? And that's just because, you know, I didn't get what I wanted. Is that really what this is about? I mean, not that it was negative, mind you, right? It wasn't even a negative. It was, I didn't get what I wanted.
Right.
And I was like, God, that's horrible. And, you know, that changing that mindset and flipping that around, it's like every morning when I get up. I mean, I can tell you that 4 a.m. doesn't feel good every morning.
Right.
Right. It just doesn't. And I've been having hip problems and knee problems. And so, you know, because of repetitive stress, I'm at 9.5 years. There's a lot of repetitive stress injuries. But I just get up and I just do it. And that doesn't work in every facet of my life, right? There are some facets of my life where I am constantly reframing, right? And reframing and reframing because I go, well, you know, what's next? Like, for example, I'm about ready to graduate in a couple of days from a master's. And I thought at this point that I would be, and I'm thrilled to be, you know, graduating and all that kind of stuff, but I thought I'd be on to my PhD. And I'm actually not. I'm going into another master's program. Now, I don't have to pay for this one.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, what I thought was my course, right, shifted on me. And now I have to reframe that and say, okay, that's okay. It gives me another opportunity. It gives me more of this, more of that. I have to take all the positives that I can. I mean, it's not negative.
Right.
I just went from graduating with a master's to another master's program that I don't have to pay for. How is that a negative?
This is how many masters do you have at this point?
No, this is my first master's. I have two bachelors.
All right. I knew you graduated a couple of years back ago.
Right. And I have a graduate certificate in international affairs. And so now I have a master's in international policy. Okay. And I'm going to get a master's in communication, specifically strategic communication, so I can go on to do my PhD in communication.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing to like never stop, right? It's always one of those things like there's all, and that's kind of the way I feel. It's like, I was thinking about this challenge that I had yesterday. It's like there's customers that are very challenging, and I'm pretty good at what I do. Like I've learned that no matter what it is, if I don't sell to someone or if I do sell to someone, it's really dependent on a lot of factors, and that I'm accepting of the fact that I didn't make the sale now, more of like, I'm not so hurt about it. Like I understand why. There's just some things that just aren't going to happen. Like we all sell the same product and usually it's about the price. That's really what it is. And I can't fall within that price for every single person. But there are some people that are really like you walk into the house and you know right then and there that they're going to be more difficult to deal with. Like they're going to be harder to sell on whatever it is. And I was thinking about this customer that I have next week that I got that it theoretically or historically has been this type of customer. I have sold one shade to, and I've probably had 10 appointments. It's very rare that that's the way that works. Now I'm thinking about the challenge of how am I going to get this one? Because it is very important to me to get this one because I don't want to fail, right? Like now what's the challenge? And that's what life is like finding that challenge and figuring out how to fix it, right? What can I do differently?
Yeah, it's always the challenge of the next best thing. And it doesn't matter what life presents you, if you can reframe everything to get the opportunity, which is what, if you think about it, it's what the propaganda masters do to us.
Right.
You know, they have what's called framing, right? So they frame a situation in such a way that you'll then see the stimulus in the way they want you to see it.
Right.
So you always have to be careful. Well, if they can do it to you, well, then you can do it to yourself. And that's the real value added is recognizing the technique and then saying, okay, you know, I got this. There's an opportunity for me to change things, an opportunity for me to reframe something as just, you know, another stumbling block. No big deal.
You have to become it. This is going to sound like a different way of looking at it. I'm trying to think of how it's going to sound. It's going to sound bad, but like you have to become the master of manipulation in your own head. Like you have to learn how to manipulate the way that you think, because if you don't, then it's not going to really work out for you. It's you talked about like the frame of mind. It's funny when I saw the, putting in the yet, right? Like in the conversation. And I used to tell that to little kids all the time when we're teaching. And I tell my daughter the same thing. It's like, I can't throw a baseball. And it's like, okay, so there's two choices, right? Like I can't throw a baseball or I can't throw a baseball yet. And when you throw yet in there, that means that you're actually giving yourself the opportunity to do it. And I used to tell, like when I student taught, because I taught, you know, higher age groups typically, and most of the time they're like, it's not, I can't do it. It's like, but the younger kids are really like, I can't do it. And it's, yeah, you can, you will. You can't do it now. Mm-hmm. You can't do it yet, but you will. if you keep working on it.
And the one really empowering thing with anything is to remember what one person does, you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not superhuman. Okay. Now, granted, there might be a lesser competence in it, but that means you can still do it, right?
Yeah.
And I was telling a friend the other day when I asked her to do something, she said, well, I'll try. And I said, no, do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah.
Okay. I gave her the Master Yoda stuff.
Yep, the Yoda. Right? Exactly. That was what was popping in my head. I'm like, that's a Yoda line.
And that's a Yoda line.
Yeah.
But it's so appropriate, because what you're saying to somebody when you say, I'll try, is you saying, well, you know, maybe that might happen. No. It only requires you do or do not.
Right.
Why are you giving yourself an out? Right. Why is there an out? Like, you know, like, yet. I mean, there are certain things that don't box you in, but they put you in the frame of mind that says, yeah, I'll be successful. Like, for example, her idea of I'll try. No. Don't try. Okay. You will do it. You're just not doing it yet. Okay. It really is that simple, but you can't give yourself an out that says, I'll try, because in your back of your mind, you have that failure preloaded. And I'm not talking about that failure as in trial and error. I'm talking that failure as in quit. Mm-hmm. Right. Because in essence, a lot of times the failure that causes us to turn 180 is really not failure. It's quitting.
Right.
And that's what you just simply say is, you know, I don't have it yet because I'm not going to quit. And so it's a
switch though too. Like, I mean, I feel like, and it comes down to everything that you do. Like, you have to realize that even though, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I was changing the spark plugs in my truck and I'm sitting there going, they're a pain in the butt. Like, if anyone's ever changed spark plugs, they know that, like, there's this rubber, like, on the plug wire, it's a rubber piece that is buried back sometimes. You know, new vehicles are a little bit different because they're pretty open because they've learned how to make everything so streamlined. Older ones, you kind of got to work around. But even so, there's one that's next back to the firewall, which is the front of the truck. And you reach back in there and you try to get it and you can't get it off of there and you're wiggling and you're whatever. And it's like, okay, I'm this deep into this. I have two choices. I can sit here and cry about this, or I can get it done. And every single different thing that I tried wasn't getting it. And then finally, all of a sudden it pops off. But if I would have just said, screw this, I'm not doing it, never would have happened. And you have to be willing that, like, it's just that frame of mind. Like, I've thought about that a lot. Like, in my life, it's like, just like you said, there, you're going to do it. And if you say that I'm going to try, it's never going to happen. You have to be willing to make sure that you keep going. It's not try. It's do, just like you said.
Yeah, it's funny because you're talking about car repairs. So my battery gave out the other night on my car. Well, this is a very old car that I inherited from my parents. And because I'm in college, I don't want a car payment or anything. So I'm driving an old car. That's nice. When the battery goes out on a very old car, what's the problem? Everything's rusted in place, right? So yep. I look down at the battery, right? And the little connector that's holding it together is right there in front of my face. No problem. You just need to. But the problem was, of course, it hadn't been changed in a decade, mm-hmm. right? So it took, you know, this, that, and the other, and finally it popped, right? You could hear that pop of the rust snapping.
Yep.
And, you know, you don't want it to be the other thing, right? Which is the nuts completely snapping off.
Broken half.
But exactly. But nonetheless, got it done. And I went ahead, and surprising enough, from the failure to the Uber to the store and the battery to restart was 1 hour and 5 minutes is all it took me.
Yep.
And so I thought to myself, you know, because again, you're like, oh my gosh, my battery died, blah, 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 blah. What an entire blessing that I could do all that in 1 hour and 5 minutes. And I had dinner plans with somebody and I was just 1 hour late for a dead battery.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And it's not me saying, wow, I did such a great job. It's just that everything had to come together, right? I go online to the auto store, order the battery. It'd be ready in 30 minutes. I call the Uber, right? All this stuff. I get back. It's rusted through. Just so happened there's a guy from my apartment complex, one of the maintenance guys that I've made friends with. And he goes, no, come here. I got this. Walks up, listen, pop, pop, snap. what? That's just a sequence of not allowing the negative. I mean, come on, a dead battery is not a positive.
Yeah.
but not allowing the negative, right, to influence the thing to be able to accomplish something that you needed to accomplish. I mean, well, there was no getting around it. Right. I had to replace the battery. I have to choose whether or not I'm empowering about it. How I frame it decides how successful I'm going to be. You know, my friend says, well, you're going to call a tow truck? I said, a tow truck? What for?
Right.
I said, you know, I'm calling an Uber. Where are you going? Auto supply store. I mean, you know, I can change a battery. But isn't that interesting? You know, you just stay in this empowering frame of mind the entire time where I'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, right. The alternative is right. You know, I mean, talking about battery issues, like I was just, as we're talking about that, again, this is, we're talking about the perception of the way that things go in your mind and how you frame it. Right. Mm-hmm. I had kind of the same thing going on with my truck. It's a newer vehicle, but the battery was bad and it essentially locked me out of the truck running. Like I got out of the truck to go open up the back of my truck, close the door with the sample books in the back. And to go look at a sample that I needed to get, I was pulled off on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, trying to figure out, you know, this customer wanted a picture of a sample. And I'm like, great. Okay. So I go and get it. Truck locks itself. Now I've got two choices. So I sat there for a minute and I kind of freaked out for about 2 minutes. And then I thought, well, this isn't going to change. What can I do?
Yep.
And it was funny because my phone was locked inside of the truck. So I had no way to call anyone either. And I'm 40 miles away from my house, but I started to think about it and I'm like, you know what? I don't have it on now, but I have my Apple Watch on and I can make calls with it. So, you know, you figure it out, you find a way. And that's really what it's about, is like, if you're willing to keep working at it, if you're willing to understand that it's going to happen no matter what, you're going to be invincible. You're going to make it happen.
Yeah, and I do like the fact that we all do that first 30 seconds of, oh, shit, right?
Yeah.
Kind of the freak out, like,
yep.
Okay. And once you get to the empowering state of mind, you just go, okay, what's next? What should I be doing? What should I be doing? If I wasn't emotional, right, like, oh, crap, this is bad. If I can take the emotion out,
yeah,
right? All of a sudden, and I love going back to that SAFE model, which is, you know, do you have a strategy? Do you have the ability? And are you willing to fearlessly execute?
Yep.
Well, a lot of times what gets in the way of your strategy and your ability is you just get emotional.
Right.
And you don't need to be emotional. And the emotion comes at the front end of problems too, you know, in the strategy and ability section. But it also comes in the fearless execution side, where you just literally get a couple failures and you want to quit.
Yeah.
And you just can't. And it's so interesting how emotions betray you in the process, right?
Yeah.
And they don't help you.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Nikki typed in, and I'm almost sure I know what she's thinking, because it's kind of what I'm thinking too, like a 30-second freakout. There are things that are a 30-second freakout, right? Like, but a lot of times, in me being really transparent with everyone, is like, I have more than a 30-second freakout sometimes. Like, I have more than a 2-minute freakout. Like, it could take days to get out of that mode, and people are that way. Like but the reality is even though it's going to take me a minute to get out of that, you know, a couple days, a couple weeks or whatever, I'm not going to accept the fact that the freak out is acceptable, right? Like at some point you have to get over it and figure out a way to get around it. And it's tough, but it's gotten better, right? Like as you change this frame of mind, like you're talking about, it will get easier. It will change. That 30-minute freak out turned into a 2-minute freak out, turned into a 30-second freak out, because you just realize that it's really you that's stopping you. It's not anyone else. It's like it's between your ears, and you can turn the situation to whatever you want, but you have to be willing to understand that no matter what, you can do it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things we do, you know, in this book, of course, I have critical failures, plane crashes and parachutes not opening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of them required that you had to, they had trained you to immediately transcend the freak out. You had to.
Yep.
You didn't have 30 seconds to freak out. So you had to immediately transcend. But, you know, that's when you've trained for something. You don't train for battery failure.
Right.
you don't train for your truck to lock you out. Mm-hmm. You just kind of go, oh crap. And then you start trying to get into that creative empowering side as fast as you can. And thank God you have other windows that you've entered that situation in before, right? It's not like this is your first rodeo or it's your first problem.
Right.
Right. But that still doesn't change the reaction that you have, which is emotion of crap.
Right. You know? Okay. And now, anytime I get out of my truck, I roll my window down.
Oh, I bet you do.
I've learned. But that's the thing, though. Like, that's the process that you learn the first time. It's funny because the first time I did it, because, you know, like, a lot of times it's like searching for a bathroom in the job that I have because there's nowhere to go. You don't go in a customer's house or whatever. And I'm in a construction site, so there's outhouses everywhere. But like, I'm going to be quick. I'm going to be in and out of that thing. So I'm like, I'll just jump out of my truck, leave it run and go run in there. Now it's like, nope, window down or keys in my pocket. But I learned my lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and I do have to laugh at new technology because, of course, my car's the car in question, I believe it's 17 years old and only has 50,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
It's, but here's the thing. I don't have any of the stuff y'all do.
Right.
You know, I mean, when I say it's basic, you can still pop the hood.
Yeah, right? 17 and years, it's probably not carbureted, but still, you know.
but you have a lot of control and things are very simple.
Right.
Right? If you don't have contact, you don't have a charge of battery, you go look at the lead. I mean, it's not, this is not, you, well, let me go look at the computer chip array.
Yeah.
There isn't any. So there's that advantage.
Well, the thing is too, is like with these new vehicles as well, like this is, everything is kind of dummy proof now, right? Like you got a phone, you got like, you can Google it. What's going on? You know, obviously you could probably do that with yours too, but like, if you don't have the technology, you can't do it. You can stick a map on the screen. Like I drive with maps on my screen all day long in my truck that's coming off of my phone. But when something goes wrong, it's harder to diagnose because either the computer told you what was wrong or there could be a million reasons why that's popping on there. And instead of having to go physically look and figure out, hey, you know, like, oh, the battery's corroded or hey, the, you know, whatever, like 17 years and it's been 10 years since the battery. Battery life is like 6 years. You kind of know, hey, well, maybe it's the battery. This could be it. Or, you know, the alternator's bad or whatever. Like there are certain things that you can do, but with the new ones, it's a blessing and a curse because it kind of tells you, but then you never know, you know?
Yeah, I had a friend who got a leak in the side of her house, right? And so she had a plumber in. The plumber comes in, and he said he has to knock a hole in the inside wall, right, to fix whatever it is. And says, well, I'm sorry, we don't do sheetrock. And so she looks at it, and she's divorced. She looks at it and goes, and she's very, very creative, right, very arts and craftsy. And she goes, how hard can this be, right? So she literally gets online, finds a video of how to sheetrock, right? She went, got all the supplies, did it, and did an absolutely fabulous job, right? Yep. She's very creative and crafty, but she was like thinking about, how does this actually work? And she sat there with a video and she killed it,
right?
And she just got empowered. She was like, I'm not going to call this person. I'm not going to spend all this money doing this. No, I'm going to get creative. And instead of... because her initial response was exactly what ours was. Freak out. There's a hole in my wall, right?
What do I do?
And in her mind, it's a hole to the outside world so critters can climb in. So she's not in a really empowering state of mind at that point. She's like, oh, crud. But look what she did.
Yeah.
She killed it. I mean, it's the first time she had ever touched sheetrock in her life. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but like I swear 99% of the situation that you're in is getting over the fact that you think that you can't do something that you can typically do. And people get lost. It's like you look at it and it seems like a daunting task. Like I have the biggest thing that I've ever done automotive wise was change a motor with my dad. My dad isn't trained to do that. He's done it a few times, but it's like just diving in there and just doing it. And what happens if you know, I mean, you could mess something up. You could strip a bolt. You could do whatever. Same thing with sheetrock. What happens? You miscut a piece of sheetrock, it falls out of the wall. I mean, there's things that can happen, but is it really that bad? And you just have to take the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, and she had a couple little trials and error, but, you know, again, she got through it. And again, she very, very empowering. And she looked at it, and her response, of course, was, I don't need a man. I was like, I laughed. I go, okay.
And, you know, she can walk by that wall every single time she walks by that, even though no one else will know it except for her. And she's going to go, I did that.
I did that. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Yeah. And really impressive. But again, getting into that, reframing the problem, right? Seeing yourself as having the ability or acquiring the ability, go online and get a video, whatever it is, acquiring the ability, get a strategy, acquire the ability, and then what? Just fearlessly execute.
Yep.
That's what she did. She fearlessly executed, you know, had a little failure here, had a little failure there, didn't matter. 3 days later, we have 3 days later, you could not tell that there was a hole there. Yep. That's how good she did.
It's a great one. I look forward to next week. And, you know, thanks for hanging out with us and everyone. You know, Nikki, it looks like we just got Nikki in the chat room. It's kind of fun because our, you know, the chat room has got about three or four people in it when I don't go live stream on TikTok. We'll have to figure that out. But I did find a way to get the whole video on TikTok, which you might have noticed. And so we'll be getting them all there. So
perfect.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for hanging out with Robert and I. We'll catch up again next Wednesday. He'll be back. Like I told you before, I'm going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, two solos on Monday and Friday. And then, Wednesday is ours victorious. Go get the book. Go get it.
Till next time. Appreciate you, Wes.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert. Until next time, I challenge you guys to find the shape of your success.